God gave me a message, but no title, so you can title it some way in the future there. You can do it. So Acts 26, verse 1. Maybe somewhere in the midst of this we'll find a good nifty title. I never really titled messages all the way up maybe the first 10 years of ministry, 8, 10 years. Never really, just recently started kind of putting titles to messages. You go back and get one in there every once in a while. So it's really not that important. It's just preaching this whole message to get to the last verses. So you know how we'll do. God just added to it. Around Monday of this week, God spoke something into my heart, and He's just been building on it all week long. So, and you'll see it in here. There's a lot to it. Then King Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself. King James has got a lovely verse right here in verse 2. It says, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all things wherefore I am accused of the Jews." I like that verse when the King James, because it says, "I think myself happy." Sometimes you need to just do that. And because it's easy to think yourself miserable. Amen. So sometimes you just need to think yourself happy. It's kind of out of context right there. The real context is he was setting King Agrippa up. He was setting him up for Jesus. Sometimes you got to set some people up for Jesus. You might want to write that down. He's doing a good job. What do you mean setting them up? Set them up with some compliments, some kind words, some affirmation. You know what I mean? Now, you ain't got to affirm everybody, but I'm just saying there's some opportunities here. And Paul's in a situation. He's literally standing for Christ in one of the hardest places. I've started to see a little bit differently as I move on in my time preaching. I used to say, God took Paul to the Gentiles and to make him totally weak, more or less, in the way he does stuff, the way he couldn't rely on anything. But I think Paul also had a really good gift and had a lot of people sowed into his life experience that he was able to stand before great men and not so great of men and make them understand what he was saying. So he did send him to a group of people that he didn't have a whole lot of common with, but he is going to use some of his life experience. Golly, I hope that helped you. I'm trying to be smart. Amen. But I want you to see this. Paul sets him up. He's saying, "I'm glad I'm getting to speak to you." Guys, when you're sharing your faith, when you're sharing your testimony, when you're sharing Jesus, let somebody know that you're appreciative of the time that you have to give to them. Let them know, "Man, I am so overwhelmed that I'm getting to speak to you. It's a privilege. It's an honor. It's a blessing to be here in front of you. This is not something that I take for granted. This is not something... Man, thanks for your time." Is that, that's what he's doing right here. Do you see it? I love it. Look in verse 3, "especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Wherefore I beseech thee to hear me patiently." Man, what set up? Dude, if you call me an expert in anything, I'm going to listen to you. Amen? I mean, I've seen these tactics used before. Amen? Oh, Lord, turn that off. Just kidding. I'm just... I'm just messing with him. But I want you to get this. If you understand, he said, "Listen, you are an expert." Man, he is setting him up. He is giving him some big affirmation right there. I'm sure that he knows him, and everybody knew Paul at this time because Paul was an up-and-coming Pharisee, and he got saved. He got changed, and boy, that was big news. But Paul sets him up and says, "I know you are an expert in all the custom of the Jews." Listen to what I'm about to tell you. Listen, set some people up for Jesus. Amen? Set them up. Hey, man, I know you're smart. I know you're intelligent. I know, man, somebody like you who uses all their talent and their resources and capabilities. I talk to a lot of people who got broken lives and addictions. I said, man, most people would be destroyed by it now. You're an exemplary person of how to use nothing and make something out of it. Sometimes you just got to let people know that you're in with them. But then I love what he said. If you listen to what he said. He goes, listen to me patiently. He goes, hear me patiently. You know, pay attention to what you're saying. And listen, I want y'all to understand this all the time too. When you're sharing your faith or you're sharing your testimony, you're sharing Jesus, sharing what's happened to you. Listen, there are no mistakes with God. I want you to hear this. There's no mistakes with Him, and there's no outcome that's bad if you share your faith or you share your testimony or you share in Jesus. No bad outcome.
Amen.
I want you to get that. You think, well, I didn't have the results. That's not your business. That's not your business. Your business is you're sharing. You're a planter and a water. Your results is not up to you. You're just there because God has placed that person or persons in front of you, and here you have a platform and opportunity. And I want you to make a note of this and understand it. Paul's opportunity is not coming at a great place. It's coming at a hard place. I always remember that too. You don't have to be in a great place and a great opportunity to share Jesus. You don't. I mean, life could be going totally 180 degrees in the opposite direction. A lot of times, those will even be more effective then less effective. If you share Christ while sitting at the waiting room at the hospital, amen? When you share Christ at the funeral home, you share Christ when, you know, you share what God's done with you when you're in trouble with the law. That's why Paul's in trouble with the law. He's standing before judges, kings, everybody. He's standing before emperor. He's on his way to a guillotine. He's on his way to be killed. He's in the system, and yet all he's wanting to do is use every opportunity to present Christ. All right? I want you to see that. So don't think, well, I'm in a bad... And now listen, I'm not... When God does it, amen, when God does it, I know the difference, and you'll know the difference too when you get used to sharing your faith and getting sharing your testimony, sharing Jesus. You'll know. You'll just know, oh, I need to do this. There'll be that little desire in your heart. I remember we went to down to Florida one year, and there was a guy, there was at the pool, and God, I mean, he spoke right to my heart and said, hey, you need to talk to him about me. And I mean, drinking, he is doing the whole nine, you know. But every once in a while, it was just me and him. And then me and him. And I was like, all right, Lord, I got it. I'm gonna work an angle. I'm gonna get in there. Just don't worry, Lord. And by that time, I was in the pool and I was about up to my chest. I turned around, and me and him bumped into each other. He said, "Excuse me." I said, "All good. Praise God." I said, "Man, I've been wanting to talk to you all day long." He said, "What? For what?" He said, "Because Jesus wanted me to talk to you." And man, I could see on his face right there. Whoop. Not it was a negative thing, not it was a bad thing. It was a thing that all of a sudden God had got into his... He'd been dealing with my... I know the same deal with my life, right? The same deals with my life. God done arrested you again when you was on vacation or out running, you know what I mean? Out doing your thing, and all of a sudden God jumps on you. I've probably told y'all the story before. I was down in Atlanta watching a football game. And we went by a street preacher. A bunch of my friends was running. I was in the very back, and the worst one of them turned around, looked at me, and said, "That'll be you one day." Yeah, I know. I was like, "I know." You understand what I'm saying? So this was the opportunity. Every place could be opportunity. God will deal with your heart. He'll know. You'll know. All right, that's the person. That's the opportunity, and it'll go good. And you know, because in your mind, you're thinking this is gonna go. They're going to want to fight or they're going to want to buck up or whatever the case may be. You know how it went? Yes, sir. Thank you. I need to hear. I know. I appreciate it. Him walking across the other pool, me walking around. You know what I'm saying? But it don't ever come to that, oh, you need to get out of my face. And if it does, praise God. You know what? I just need to tell you. God bless you. Right? Let's look at it. All right, so he sets him up in verse 4. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation at Jerusalem, now all know all the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come. For which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them often in the synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto the strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, Paul sets him up with a left hook of testimony right here. It's a pretty neat thing. He sets him up and he tells him, listen, prior to this, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. I mean of the straightest sect. And he kind of jabs him because he said the Pharisees believe in the resurrection. He goes, and I've been taught ever since I was a little kid up until the day of my transformation unto Christ that we were supposed to be looking for this guy. And guess what? He showed up, so everything I've been taught has happened. So he's kind of jabbing with him and sparring and letting him know that, hey, you know I'm not crazy. You got to let some people know you're not crazy. And then guess what? All of a sudden he slides in there with guess what? I want y'all to get this. And y'all, this is a key to who you are as a Christian. What changed me? Do you hear what I'm saying? What changed in me? I do this a lot because, you know, sometimes you can get into different groups and different persons and different personalities, and the next thing you know, you'll be arguing about doctrine and some things that have no bearing on what has to do with eternity or not, but you can get back and forth in discourse in doctrine, which is okay in some aspects, but when you're trying to talk to somebody about salvation, a lot of times their defenses will come up and they'll try to fight you with doctrine that they've heard. Are you all right? I want y'all to get that because you can go back and I'll give you an example of the Word of God. The woman at the well. If you want to know how to win people to the Lord, that's one of the best discourses there is. But what I like to see in that is she came up, she said, you say you worship in Jerusalem. Our fathers say we worship here in this mountain. You know? What? What does that got to do with the way you're living your life? Absolutely nothing. Right? Do you understand what I'm saying? So Paul, he does one of the most brilliant things, and I like to do this too, is I like to say, what in the world happened that I changed? Right? There's nothing. You know me, and if you had everybody testify of who I am up to the point where I met Jesus, they would tell you that's who He was. So something had to transpire. Are y'all good? Are y'all seeing that? Sometimes you can't wrestle around with theological ideas of somebody. You just say, I am not the man that I used to be. I am not the woman I used to be. Can you understand that? Where I used to hate you, I love you. Where I used to not want to do the things of God, I desire to do the things of God. Now I don't want to do the things that I used to do. Is that good? Paul, when he went as far as saying, look, I was hurting people that were believing in Jesus. I got the saints, and I was putting them down. What would make me change? Amen. Can y'all see him now? My mind runs like a movie. I've told y'all this before, and some of the women, I don't know if you just, sometimes the mode, but men, we see it like a movie. Do y'all see Agrippa yet? He's like, I can see him. I can just see him sitting there going, You know, and God's good like this. See, God's Word and God's sharing your testimony, sharing the gospel. Listen, you might not think it's having an effect, but man, this dude's a big-time dude, and he's just sitting there, and he's tracked in. I mean, the tractor beam's locked in, and it's drawing him in. He can't say or do anything. When Paul said, listen patiently, he's like, yes, sir. And he's locked in. God's good like that, ain't he? Have you ever seen somebody get that? I have. I've seen people. I mean, somebody said, well, my old, this person, that person, they get in a church, God will start drawing, the Holy Spirit will come down. Next thing you know, they're locked in like a tractor beam. And I had one guy, he sat there all the time. He goes, man, I was going to do this and I was going to do that, but I couldn't even move. At the end, he just walked straight to the altar and just got on the altar because I don't even know how I got up there. Well, praise God. That's God. That's what's happening to King Agrippa, because Paul just sets him up for this account. And God sets him up ultimately, but Paul knows how to, this is a good thing. Amen. You seeing how it works. I love it. Now look, this is what Paul does. Now this is the big shot. He's going to hit him with Jesus. Now, I want you to do that. You need to hit him with Jesus. I mean, you can set him up with who you are and what happened to you, but you got to put Jesus on. And that's what he's going to do right here. Amen. He's going to talk about who he met. All right, let's look at it. It's Paul's story, but it gets better every time. Have you ever noticed Paul? All he does is testify and preach. Testify and preach. That's all he does. I mean, it's not a big deal. He just keeps telling people what happened to him. Amen. Hey, that's all he does. Sets them up. Bam, that's it. I mean, and it works. Yeah. I mean, a lot of times we're thinking about some theological deep subject. It's not really that deep. Share the gospel. Share your testimony. Share your testimony. Share the gospel. That's it. Amen. It's good stuff. Now listen, here it gets good in verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. Man, I want to go on and just preach that, but that would help a lot. Do you understand how big God is all of a sudden? This is Jesus after the resurrection. This is Jesus in heaven, right? And he appears to Paul because he's one born out of due season. He's on the road to Damascus. He is an apostle just like the other apostles. But Jesus appears to him, and you know what? He said the sun don't even compare to Jesus. At midday. Now, they say, he didn't say, well, it was a cloudy day, and you can barely see. He's like, man, at midday, what he's trying to say is, man, the sun was fully up. And this Jesus, he blanks out the sun. Eclipses the sun. God's light so bright that he eclipses the sun. Now, y'all got, that's good, amen? That's a big deal to me. I want y'all to understand, when Jesus comes back for the church, we're all thinking he's going to sneak in and sneak out. You can't, when you're Jesus, you can't sneak in anything. Amen? And when he comes, I don't want to do this, but it's in my, your bride is in one place and you are in another place and your father says, go get the bride, you don't care who's in the way. With a shout, come on up, baby. Come on up. It's time, right? We are the bride. Now look, I don't care. Some of y'all, you don't make a good looking bride. I don't really care. I am what it is what it is. Amen? He let me in. It is what it is. The church, hey, you ain't got to be beautiful. You're just getting married. You know what I'm saying? God. I go, hey, all we are is Rachel and Leah. Really? Rachel's the apple of the eye. That's Israel. That's God's eye. He wanted her. Leah was just thrown in there. Amen? He got swindled. He got to take Leah. I'm like Leah. I don't care. Cross-eyed and all. I don't care. Marry me. Amen. You got me now. I'm in. Forget it. Amen. Baby after baby after baby. I mean, she started producing right away. Now, y'all, come on. Y'all got it. That's the scripture. I didn't make that stuff up. Her eyes were different. I don't know if she was cross-eyed or whatever. She wasn't as attractive, apparently. But God did see fit to him to have Leah. And Leah was just a producer. Amen? Got some people are laughing back there. Got them. I got them. All right. Listen, it's verse 14. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Man, this is so good. He said, it's hard, ain't it? It's hard trying not to live for me. It cracks me up when I run into people who tell me how big of a good time they're having in sin. It cracks me up. They're like, man, I'm living my life. You know, you get out of here. You're kicking against God and it hurts. You put on a good show in front of everybody and what you put on for the rest of the world. But when you're all alone and you need something, man, I'm telling you right now, it's hard to live against God. He hits you in the heart. That place where you know to do right and you do it not. Man, I'm telling you, I love that. He says, it's hard, ain't it? It's hard. And then he jumps down there to verse 15. This will help you. He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Man. Jesus takes it personal when you hurt church people. I'm talking about the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ. If you're into hurting church people, guess what? You better watch out, because guess what? God takes it serious. And He takes it very serious. 16, but rise, stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things which in the which I will appear unto thee. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Man, praise God. Amen. Praise God. I mean, man, could you believe this, how this works out? Paul, who is a Pharisee of the Pharisee, living contrary to Jesus, is now one of the biggest tools and assets to the New Testament church to bring the Gentiles in. Listen, some of you sit and go, well, God could never use somebody like me. You could be a great asset for the kingdom of God. You can do greater things than you can ever imagine if you'll just turn your whole life over to Jesus. I mean, looking back on it, I thought, man, why in the world would God want to use anybody like me? And then you go and look back and you're like, wow, it's just about surrender. It's about surrender and then just your availability. That's it. Make yourself available to God. Just say, God, I'm available. Whatever you want to do, you know. And He'll use you in big ways.
Amen.
I love this. And I mean, man, Paul, I guarantee you, he was sitting there thinking, this is not how I planned my life to go. I mean, my whole life I was trying to get in by this right here. And all of a sudden, God's trying to take me down a path that I would have never chose. That's exactly right. And it's good. Because, I mean, man, you got to totally rely on God. Because guess what? You don't know what this path looks like. Man, is it going to be effective? Yeah, because we're still reading about it in 2018 in America. Before there was a church, there was Paul. Amen? Before there was a New Testament church, before there was a Gentile church, Paul was... You're going. And guess what? Man, this is pretty cool, because we look at this other way. All right, you're going. You're sent. I'm called. I'm sent. I'm anointed. Praise God. To what? Go straight up to the biggest place where Gentiles are, Rome, and die. Never mind. Teach, plant, testify, share the gospel, share Jesus, and die beautifully.
Amen.
Die beautifully. Stick your head out and cross the finish line. That's what he told. He said to Timothy, I'm finishing my race. Do your best to come after me. I'm going across the finish line. Man, you know how you do when you cross the finish line. You want to win. He sticks his neck out, running up to the gallows. God, here's the finish line for me. Amen? Thank God. Thank God he lived that life. Amen? Verse 19, now here's the reason we come to preach all this. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He said, he's telling them, I'm doing it right now, right? Guys, I'm sorry, I don't mean to just get every point right here, but I want you to see it. He says, I was not disobedient unto the heaven. He said, you know what he's saying? I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now. I'm not going to do it. I'm not thinking about it. I'm doing it. I don't know if I'm doing good, bad, or indifferent. I don't know if I'm real good or real bad or real whatever. I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
Get it? I mean, you see where Paul's like, hey, look, I wasn't disobedient. When God sent, I went. Amen?
Amen.
There it is. Verse 20. But showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. For these causes, the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continued unto this day witnessing both to small, that means people like barbarians, and great, like you, King Agrippa, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and shew light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. He said, this is me, this is what I'm doing, and he's using me to teach what he always said to Moses and the prophets. That's what he said he was going to do, and he's using me for that purpose. That's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing. That's what, hey, this ain't some crazy thing. Listen, this is who I was. Then this is who I met. Come on, help me now. This is who I was. This is who I met. This is what I'm doing. Whew. Ain't that good?
Yeah.
This is who I was. You know me, right? You heard the stories, right? You got the news clippings, the family get-togethers. You heard who I was. Here's who I met. This is what I'm doing now. Boy, that's, I'm telling you, man, this is just, I mean, it's good.
Amen.
Look, I love it. Guess who hadn't said a word yet? Agrippa. He ain't said a word. Why? He's in the tractor beam. He's in the pool of the Holy Spirit of God. God has got him right where he wants him. Okay? Listen to this. Verse 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. And he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. God, do you hear that? Now listen, I want you to get this. In a meeting, in a congregation, in a church service, there can be somebody sitting in your proximity who it ain't for them. That has nothing to do with you. Festus goes, you're crazy. I like what he said, though. Much learning's made you crazy. He goes, you've studied too much. You got too deep in the weeds. You're crazy. He's not crazy. I'm not. Listen to his response. He doesn't defend himself. But he says, I am not mad, most noble Festus. God, he's good. He's good, ain't he? Because, I mean, I know how sometimes we're... Shut up. Mind your business. No, he just, oh, most noble Festus. He's still winning. He's trying to win these men to Christ. He's not letting anything get in between him and what he's doing. He's still working this. Because watch what he does now. For the king... Verse 26, for the king knoweth these things, before whom I also speak freely, for I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Boy, he is totally, listen, Festus, he went right past him, and he goes right, hey! Do you know what I'm saying? You know that you know this is stuff true. If you know our customs, if you've heard, he said, and you know this is, you've been burdened. Listen, when you're talking to somebody about Jesus, don't act like they've never heard. Listen, everybody was made and designed by Jesus. Amen? God made them, and they're missing one thing. They're missing Christ Jesus. And when you're speaking to them, you're not speaking on your behalf, you're speaking on God's behalf. He's working on them. I don't care what kind of front, I don't care what kind of projection they put out. Guess what? They on the inside, God's working. Hey, on the spirit man, God's working on him. If it worked for the Enoch in the desert who is just sitting there, it'll work for somebody you know. Amen? I don't care how they put on. But he looks at him and goes, listen, King Agrippa, you know. You know you believe these things that you've heard, and you know the customs. Whew. You see him? I see him sitting there. He's ready, right? Verse 28, then King Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. This needs to be preached in so many places. It needs to be said, if you're almost there, you need to surrender. You need to surrender right then. There's never been more dangerous place than where King Agrippa is. You're the farthest from heaven and you're the closest to hell. Somebody said, what are you talking about? And you can be right there. I'm almost persuaded. Do you know how many people come to church on Sundays and Wednesdays and get in big revival meetings and they almost get saved? And I mean, they're almost ready to give in, but they can't trust Jesus enough to do it. And I mean, this is a hard place to get to again. Sure, I'll say it again. This is a hard place to get to again. Amen? You're saying, oh, you're one of them people saying God won't die. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, once you get past that, it's hard to get back into a place where God's dealing like that. Because if you make it out of that, you might not go back to the church service. You might not try to get back in front of somebody like Paul, right? Do you see what I'm saying right there? If you don't, you ain't got to take my word for it because it goes on to show you, okay? I'll show you what Paul does. And Paul said, verse 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Do you see how urgent he was? He said, listen, I want you to be saved. I want you to have the same thing I got, except for these bonds. He said, I don't want you to be in prison. I don't want you to be hurt. I don't want you to have to do what I'm doing. But praise God, I want you to have what I have in my heart. Because what I have in my heart set me free. He goes, boy, I wish you could have. See, you're looking at Paul. He's looking at, King Agrippa's looking at him kind of like this. See, you're looking at me from a podium or a seat that a lot of pomp and circumstances and people think you're somebody. But you're nobody and I have everybody inside of me, which is Christ Jesus. I wish you had what I had. Man, I'm telling you. King Agrippa's probably sitting there going, I mean, on the inside. Now, on the outside, he's projecting. He's still royalty. He's still who he is. But on the inside, he's going, I need that. I've got everything. And I, ever since you got started speaking, man, you've been persuading me. And I'm almost willing to give up everything to have what you have, even though you have nothing. You don't have your own freedom right now. But I'm almost willing to give up everything I got to have the freedom that I see in you despite your bonds. Do you hear what I'm saying? This almost borders the thief on the cross, don't it? Seeing something in somebody who's free but not free. Who's loose but not loosed. Who's got something that you ain't got. That's one of the biggest factors in me getting saved was seeing in my father the peace that he had. It baffled me. I mean, I remember riding home my wife from Nashville going, we don't have that. We got marriage. We got jobs. We got cars. We got kids. We got stuff. We don't have that. What? That peace. That love for God, but that just that overriding, everything's good with God, you know? I want that. If we have to give up everything else but that, I want that. You hear me? That's before I got saved. I just desired that. When you got around them, they didn't struggle with the same, oh, I wonder what's going to, you know, like, I hear the news, I hear stuff, I don't think of it that way. I mean, people are like, man, it could be the end of the world. I'm like, yeah! We're going to ruin this world, could be an end. Yes. Amen. I know I'm crazy. I know I'm a little psycho, but guess what? Every plant, every tree, every animal, everything that God created, man, if it's ready too. No. It's ready too. Listen, accept these bonds. Verse 30. And when he had thus spoken, the king arose, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they were gone aside, they talked between themselves, saying, this man doth nothing worthy of death or of bonds. Then said King Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Do you see this? I think there's something else there going on in his heart. He's saying, this guy, this is a mission bigger than who he is. You understand what I'm saying? This is bigger than I've listened to him, and if anybody was to listen to him, there is no reason for him. Listen, I want y'all to get back down to this. There's no reason for him to have to go this course. There's no reason for him to go up to Rome and stand before Caesar. There is no reason for this. You know what he's wrestling with? There was no reason why he should have been in front of me. I'm having to deal with what he said about this Jesus, and it's wearing me out. And I can't figure out why he's ended up here. You say, how do you know that? Because that was me before we get saved. Why this person? Why that person? Why'd they have to do that? Right? I told this story to somebody not long ago. I got invited to a singing over at these people's house. They had all these pickers and they played instruments and they were all big musicians. And for some reason, I was in a revival that week. And at the end of the revival, this guy says, do you want to come over and hang out with us? We're going to sing and play music. And I was like, yeah, I guess. Y'all going to eat? Right? They go, yeah, we'll eat. Because I don't sing and I don't play instruments. And I'm talking about these are like fine picker, fine play. I mean, these people can play. And they're all talking about, I'm doing all that. I'm sitting over like a lump on a log. I'm like, you're good music, Christian music. They're blowing the roof off of it. They're good. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, man. And there's this guy named Pee-wee. He's there. He's been in the revival all week with us. He's sang. He's preached. His family's in church. I know his father-in-law is one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. I'm sitting there, He's sitting across from me. And all of a sudden, I'm in a picket playing. And I said, hey. God wants me to share a little something. I'm like, you going to sing? Nope. I'm going to sing. I want to tell you how I got saved. And I'm sitting here, man, I'm thinking in my mind, I said, this is insane because these people are big-time Christians. That's what I was thinking. They're all big-time Christians, Because it was my pastor and people I've seen testify, people I've seen preach, everything. And I went to sharing what God had done in my life, and I started sharing the gospel. I'm like, yeah, Lord, what are you trying to do? And I was thinking, then I kind of got a little bit of self-doubt and everything. Well, maybe because I couldn't sing, I wanted to just do something. Pee-wee got up and walked out of the room. I said, man, I probably offended him too. Oh, well. I seen him go in the other room. He sat in a chair, and he spun around in the chair, and he went back outside. And the next day, he said, brother, we were standing out there in his baptism time, and shakes my hand. He said, I want to let you know this. He said, I got saved this morning. I went, really? He said, yes. He said, you played one of the biggest roles in that. I said, really? He said, all week long I was in that revival, and every time God started dealing with me, I would pick up my son, or he had a small baby, and he said, I would take the baby outside. He said, even if I heard a whimper, I'd go, give him that baby. And he'd get a baby and go outside. And even his wife was like, I don't know the baby. He said, every time God got on my heart, I'd go outside with a baby. He said, but then I thought I made it. I got to the revival. I got through it. And you came over there. When you started telling about Jesus, I didn't stand a chance. And I told him, I'm giving my life to Christ. I said, I can't escape him. I can't get away from him. He said, I've sang songs and I've preached messages and I've done all this stuff, but I ain't even saved. So I got saved. And he goes, I appreciate you sharing your testimony. That played a role in it. He said, God ultimately did it, but he wouldn't let me go. Right? What I'm telling you is, you know the opportunity. You don't have to be there. It's not your business. God is a wrestling God. And man, he is a wrestling God. Once he gets on you, it's hard to get off. Amen? Once he gets on you, it's like goodness gracious. He just starts grabbing you and twisting you until you surrender. So just do what God tells you to do. Paul's like, man, I know why I'm here. I'm either going to share the gospel, I'm going to share my testimony, one or the other, or both. That's what he did, wherever he went, great or small, barbarian or a king, and everything in between. Let's all stand as they come get a song.